This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, in spite of TikTok's looming banner sale, the app is courting advertisers. We'll hear about what makes the platform appealing for them from WSJ reporter Katie Dayton. And then, climate change is putting your morning cup of coffee at risk. WSJ technology columnist Christopher Mims tells us how companies are turning to biotech to create synthetic versions of coffee, chocolate, and other endangered foods. But first, last week at an event called New Fronts, TikTok made a pitch to advertisers. It's not the first time the social media platform has done this, but this year was a little different. Instead of smaller events and dinners, TikTok had a more formal presentation with around 300 media executives in attendance. And it didn't just tell advertisers about the platform's new features and partnerships. It addressed the elephant in the room, the recently signed law that will force a ban or sale of TikTok in the coming months. WSJ reporter Katie Dayton joins me now with more. Katie, what was the gist of TikTok's pitch to advertisers?
The gist of TikTok's presentation this year was very much, we are the place where you can reach consumers the best. A lot of what they were saying at the presentation was, we're not just Gen Z. They had some screens up that were saying, you know, we can reach parents, professionals. If you want to launch a specific product, this is the place to do that. Reaching audiences and engaged audiences is like a huge thing for advertisers at the moment. Everyone has a dearth of attention spans. So if they can say that people come to TikTok, spend a lot of time on there, that's a really compelling pitch for advertisers.
How is this approach different from how TikTok has presented to advertisers in the past?
TikTok usually keeps their pitches to advertisers pretty exclusive and pretty small. Last year, they really did a dinner instead. This year was very much a statement of intent, and they want to be competing with the likes of Meta, who do a New Fronts presentation, as well as Snapchat, who spent a lot of money on theirs. At this point in their trajectory in the US, they want to start really grabbing in those ad dollars that historically went to Google, Facebook, and all the other social media channels.
Do we have a sense of how TikTok compares to some other digital advertising platforms, just in terms of ad dollars?
I have heard anecdotally that TikTok can be cheaper to buy on at the moment. In terms of the money that they're making, it's still nowhere near as much as Google and Facebook make. And also Amazon, which in the last few years has really come out as a platform that advertisers spend money with to make sure their products are up there as sponsored placements. But TikTok, compared to Snapchat, it makes more money than Snapchat from advertising. The only platform above TikTok, other than the top three, which is Google, Meta, and Amazon, is Microsoft. So given the fact that TikTok's really only come of age in the last 4 years in the States, it's really been quite a compelling story for them advertising-wise.
Does this legislation that is going to force a ban or sale of TikTok play a role here?
A lot of people were there to see what they had to say about that. Advertisers, on for the most part, will just stick with the path of least resistance. And until there is anything that actually changes here in terms of users using TikTok, they're going to keep spending. But obviously, it's in the news. They're talking about contingency plans should the app get banned.
Has the impending ban affected advertiser interest in the platform at this point?
From what our sources are telling us, the ban hasn't affected advertising at all on the platform. For advertisers, they just want to reach Gen Z. I mean, it's still very popular amongst that demographic. And they want to make sure that they're tied into culture and to the zeitgeist. And a ban at this point is just something that they can't really see happening in the near term. And because digital media is bought very much days ahead, weeks ahead. It's not the way that it's bought around broadcast media, which is in the months ahead. Even if a ban did come into place, it would be very easy for the advertisers to turn that off.
That was our reporter, Katie Dayton. Coming up, would you drink coffee that's made out of date pits or chickpeas? That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. Oracle.com/wallstreet.
Have you noticed that coffee is getting more expensive? Part of the reason is climate change. Extreme weather events can make the yields of coffee beans unpredictable, even as demand for coffee rises globally. Now, a number of companies are looking to recreate the taste of coffee in the lab using biotechnology. Here's WSJ Technology columnist Christopher Mims with more on how they're going about it. Christopher, why is my morning cup of coffee at risk?
At least one study found that by 2050, half of arable land, which is most suited to growing Arabica coffee, which is, you know, the kind most of us drink, is under threat. So that's a 50% reduction in the best land for the coffee that we all favor. And it only gets worse from there. And on top of that, turns out growing coffee often contributes to the very same emissions and environmental destruction that is threatening coffee. So coffee, cocoa, a lot of these staples that grow in tropical climates are under threat from changing climate and all kinds of diseases, because of course they're monocrops as well. So you've seen the price of both coffee beans and cocoa shoot up this year.
Okay, so companies are looking into synthetic versions of these products, specifically coffee. How are they going about it?
A lot of these companies start by analyzing coffee. So they'll take it and they'll break it down like any good lab or bench chemist would, and they put it through a gas chromatograph and they identify all the different substances in a properly roasted and ground coffee bean that make it taste like coffee. And then they try to find natural and synthetic alternatives which produce the same flavor profile. And I talked to one company called Otomo, and they began really as a science project at a university 5 or 6 years ago. And they have gotten to the point now where they're producing something that looks and smells, and once you brew it, tastes like just regular espresso beans. And they do it from a combination of other things. And they use upcycled agricultural waste, like roasted date pits and ramon seeds, which is from Central America. It's been roasted and drunk for centuries. And, you know, other things. And a bunch of different companies are trying to do this. I found at least a half dozen that are trying to create this coffee in different ways.
What sorts of technological processes make this possible?
Companies tend to go about this one of two ways. One is they will take existing foods and agricultural products like date pits, or in another case, chickpeas, and they'll just roast them and or ferment them, and they'll add some other stuff. And it turns out a lot of the flavor of coffee is just in the process. We like coffee because it has caffeine in it. And of course, when coffee was first introduced to Europe, that was the big selling point. But now we can just synthesize caffeine, or we can extract it from other things like tea. There's another more radical approach, which could apply to a lot of different foods. And that's where you actually grow just huge vats of individual plant cells in what's called a bioreactor, which is just a big steel vessel. Typically, they're used to create pharmaceuticals or cosmetics or food additives. One researcher told me any plant cell can be grown in industrial quantities in a bioreactor, as long as you do enough science first to figure out what to feed it and how to get it to just exist as individual cells instead of a whole plant.
What are the hurdles or downsides here? I would imagine cost is one of them.
For now, the high-end coffee alternatives do cost considerably more than all but the highest end of coffees. But all of these companies, really their goal is to make this as cheap as or cheaper than coffee. So Voyage Foods in particular, they just signed a big distribution deal with Cargill, which is, you know, like one of the largest food commodity companies in the world. That's for their fake cocoa products. But their goal going into this at Voyage Foods was, let's make something that is in all cases cheaper than coffee. And, you know, the gap is only going to get bigger as demand for quote unquote real coffee goes up and supply continues to shrink.
How likely is it that in the future, most of us will be consuming synthetic coffee instead of the real thing?
It depends how far in the future you want to go, right? By 2100, a lot of the foods we're going to be consuming at that time are going to be either genetically engineered, highly bred to tolerate a different climate, or synthesized. We've seen this first with Impossible Foods and the like. But as long as the kind of emissions and the energy balance pencils out, like, we're going to end up replacing a lot of our kind of everyday food stuff with synthesized ones.
That was our technology columnist, Christopher Mims. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.